This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, In Pursuit of Happiness.
This book is filled with God's promises. Yes, it's filled with God's principles, and it's filled with the parameters that we ought to live within in our lives. But God promises the born-again, Bible-believing Christian an abundant life. God's promised you a full and purposeful life. God's promised you a quality of life that goes beyond anything you're going to be promised here on earth and anything you could possibly have imagined before you came to Christ as your Savior. It's a joy, it's a happiness, it is a life that transcends anything the world has to offer. This month, I opted to invite you to join me in the 5-H Club, what it means to have a full life. Last week, we talked about hope. We talked about God's promise of hope. And this morning, I'd like to talk to you about the second H, which is the pursuit of happiness. And so let me begin with a little bit of history. On July 2nd, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was approved in wording by the Continental Congress. On July 4th, 1776, the delegates voted to accept it and declare America's independence from Great Britain and the rule of kings. On July 8th, 1776, it was read in public for the first time outside Independence Hall, accompanied by the ringing of the Liberty Bell. On July 19th, Congress ordered it written in script on parchment, and on August 2nd, 1776, the members of Congress signed that parchment copy. Ensconced within the Declaration of Independence are these words, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And isn't it just wonderful in a government founded on the Judeo principles that the pursuit of happiness is a right? Think about all the cultures and all the countries of the world. We're trying to scratch out or eke out or etch out a little bit of food in the course of the day. Think about this in contrast. Think about how godless tyrants and how they have operated and what they have to offer. Take a look at the words of Adolf Hitler. He said this, "The day of individual happiness has passed." So contrast that against this Declaration of Independence and this promise of government in which you can pursue happiness, and one that says there is no such thing. We've stolen whatever that is. Survey shows that healthy people in America are 20% happier than the average person, while those who are not healthy are 9% more unhappy. Married couples are 10% happier than unmarried. I'm looking. Harris Polls says that only 1/3 of Americans say that they are very happy. So what makes a happy life? Researchers conclude happiness correlates with age, health, marital status, personal income, spirituality, and attitude. So I'd like to define some terms. Happiness is defined as, quote, a feeling of great pleasure and contentment, generally because of a particular event. We shorthanded and said happiness depends on what's happening. But joy is a state of well-being that marks one's life regardless of circumstance. It's a wellspring of who you are through the storms of life, remembering that it's not the size of your storm, it's the size of your God that matters. It doesn't take much to knock us off the sands of happiness, but it would probably take a bulldozer to steal your joy. The non-believer's quest for happiness has as its underpinning many false premises. Consequently, happiness eludes so much of the world. They attempt to find happiness and joy without God. It ain't possible. They believe that it's limited to this life. They say there's no God, there's no devil, there's no angels, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there is only this material world. Well, that brings us back to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die, and there's nothing beyond that. It's kind of a short-lived happiness, isn't it? It's short-lived because we become jaded when we finally do get happy. We get to the point where what we have now is not good enough. We want bigger. We want better. We want best. We want more expensive. We want the watch that tells us whether we're smiling or not. We want the watch that tells us how healthy we are, how far we've walked. We want the next thing, the best thing. We get jaded, in other words. Those who have walked away from God believe that happiness is derived from wealth, power, food, drink, pleasure. You don't believe it? Turn on the TV and just take a look. This morning, I want to employ the words happiness, joy, and blessing interchangeably as the scripture speaks to us of God's prescription for a happy life. And here are six ingredients in that prescription. Number one, true happiness is knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Deuteronomy 33:29 says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord. You've all read something by C.S. Lewis or seen the Chronicles of Narnia in the movies. C.S. Lewis wrote these words, God cannot give us happiness apart from himself because there is no such thing. And then Blaise Pascal, who is a famous scientist, a mathematician, and a philosopher, he wrote these words, if man is not made for God, why is he happy only in God? The only place we can find happiness, true happiness, is in God. And God wants you to be happy. How many of you realize that? Did you know that God wants you to be happy? It's God's desire that you be happy. Your happiness is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:2 says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. We talked about joy and happiness a moment ago. So I want to let you know this morning that God wants you to be happy, and you have enough God-gifted joy within you to fill all your todays and all your tomorrows. And I have a question for you. Are you happy to be a Christian? Are you happy to be following Jesus? So why don't you tell your face? Psalm 144 verse 15, the last half says, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If you're happy because you are following Jesus Christ, if you're happy that Jesus is living in you, you ought to be singing for joy and you ought to be praising the Lord every single day. Instead of getting up complaining, you ought to get up every morning and sing and praise the Lord. How would that change the trajectory of your life today? If instead of focusing in on the things you're miserable about, you focused on the things you're happy about. Number two, happiness comes from helping others. Proverbs 14:21, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's a wonderful story about a comedian named Jimmy Durante. How many of you ever heard that name? I can see hands who are not raised. He was a comedian back in the 30s and the 40s, one of the great entertainers of a generation ago. He was asked to be part of a show for World War II veterans. He told them his schedule was very busy and he could only afford a few minutes. But if they wouldn't mind his doing one short monologue and immediately leaving for his next appointment, he would come. Of course, the show director agreed happily. But when Jimmy got on stage, something interesting happened. He went through the short monologue and then he stayed. The applause grew louder and louder, and he kept staying. Pretty soon, he had been on 15, 20, and then 30 minutes. Finally, he took a last bow and left the stage. Backstage, somebody stopped him and said, I thought you were only going to do for a few minutes. What happened? And Jimmy answered, I did have to go, but I can show you the reason that I stayed and why I was so happy to do it. You can see for yourself if you look on the front row. In the front row were two men, each of whom had lost an arm in the war. One had lost his right arm, the other had lost his left, and together they were able to clap. And that's exactly what they were doing, loudly and cheerfully. So wonderful to bring joy and cheer and happiness to the lives of other people. Ephesians 3:12 says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. Unhappiness comes when we are prisoners of our own negative attitude and thought processes. It's easy for us to sink into bogs of despair. It's easy for us to do those things. And in those times, just think about this thought. Think about God whispering to you about the cross that Jesus carried. Remember, he carried that cross through the streets of Jerusalem. He had been beaten. He was bleeding. His body was torn apart. The cross, which was the implement of his death, was borne upon his shoulders. And he trudged his way through. He fell down. He picked himself up. And then there came a point where he ran completely out of any power to do it on his own. And as he fell beneath that heavy load, a man was pulled from the crowd, a man from North Africa, a black man. He was pulled from the crowd. His black hands lifted the cross off Jesus' back and placed him on his own. And then he began to walk. If you think about it, that man's name was Simon. He was from the town of Cyrene. It's 2,000 years later, and I'm mentioning his name here in front of you. You see, the good things that you do in Jesus' name are never forgotten. They're never forgotten. They go on into eternity, and someday God is going to look at you when he sees the good deeds that you've done here on earth, and he's going to look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. These things that you do here and now for other people don't just have eternal consequences. They will make you happy today and tomorrow. Number three, happiness is doing God's will and following his plan for your life. Psalm 40 and verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O God. You will find God's will by going to God's book. This is where his will is found. If you want to know about God's plan for you, God's plan for your life specifically is revealed from day to day. Who you should have as a friend, what school you should be going to, who should be the people you put your trust in, what is it that God would have you to do with your life going forward? The big questions of life will be answered by God day by day as he reveals his plan to your life. But as far as his will is concerned, it's contained in his book and you can look it up. Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And Psalm 1 verse 3 says, and he, that's the blessed man, that's the happy man, that's the man or woman who's following God's plan and will for their life, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You are God's tree. He has planted you someplace. He has planted you in this church. He has planted you on that job. He has planted you in that school. He's planted you in that family. He's planted you to do his purposes. And as far as what kind of a tree you are, may I tell you something? You are an evergreen. Cold winds will not take away the fruit of your bough. No matter what comes into your life, if you are happy in Jesus and filled with his joy, the harshest times of your life will be some of the best times of your life, because you will draw nigh to the Lord. Our testimony is the fruit of love, joy, peace, and faith, and it follows us everywhere we go. The author, Rita Snowden, tells of her visit to a small town near Dover, England. She was having tea in the late afternoon when she became aware of an unbelievably pleasant scent filling the air. She asked the waiter the source of the scent, and she was told it came from the people passing by in front of the open-air restaurant. He explained to her that they worked in a perfume factory down the street, and they were on their way home. When they left the factory, they carried with them the fragrance that had permeated their clothes during the day's work. And so it is with the born-again, Bible-believing Christian. You spread God's joy, God's love, God's peace to all with whom you come in contact. And when you pass into the lives of people that you meet or the people that you know, a fragrance of Jesus' love will be left behind. Are you carrying his fragrance with you? They will see the happiness in your face. They'll hear the happiness in your words. They'll hear the joy that you've got, because they're going to see you through the circumstances of life. And they're going to watch to see you call yourself a Christian. How do you get through these times? Among ourselves, we say we don't know how the world can get through any of life's difficulties without Jesus. But when the world sees us, when non-believers see us, when our unchristian friends see us, what do they see as we go through difficult times? Do they see that we're able to get through it with strength, with joy, with confidence, knowing that God will take us through tough times and bring us out the other end better and not bitter. Number four, happiness is being in God's Word every day. The Bible is a happy book. Can I say that again? The Bible is a happy book. In fact, Jesus gives a whole sermon. We call it Beatitudes. Someone else rephrased it and called it the Be Happy Attitudes. This book is filled with happy things, things that can encourage you. Jesus was a happy person. Does anybody remember how he started his 3-year ministry on earth? He went to a party. He wanted to bring joy. He wanted to bring encouragement to people. Jesus is a happy person, and you have his Holy Spirit living in you. And there's no reason for you to be a defeated, unhappy person. Psalm 1:2 says, "But his delight, happiness, blessing, joy is in the law." That's the Bible. "And in his law does he meditate day and night." So my question to you is, and this is a hard question, and this is a question you know the answer to. When was the last time you picked up the Bible outside of church? When was the last time you picked up this book and started to dig into it? When was the last time you opened and read it even? You know the answer to that question. But I want to tell you something. If you're not in God's Word every day, and that just doesn't mean Sundays, if you're in God's Word every day, you're going to find the keys to happiness there. The Bible is a treasure house of blessing. To the believer, and to the believer, he is a blessing that comes to your life every single day. Now, here are 6 truths that reveal how we can receive blessings from the Bible. Number one, the believer's happiness is in the Word. In other words, do you go into your reading and your studying and your meditating on God's Word believing it's my source of happiness? I can't get happiness anywhere in the world. You know, people say, well, I'm happy. Happy for right now. Happy for right now. You know, sin brings happiness, but it just brings it for a season. But then you're left with the consequences of the sin. I often think about the Marlboro Man when I was growing up. Anybody remember what a Marlboro is? It wasn't a Duke. It was a cigarette. And the Marlboro Man was a cowboy. He used to ride the hills of Staten Island. I didn't know if he was riding on the garbage dumps or I think he was riding on Mount Loretto, which is pretty nice. But there he was, a picture of a man, the 20th century man, rugged, strong. Do you know he died of lung cancer? But nobody ever tells that part of the story. Happiness for a season. God gives us a happiness that lasts the rest of our life and pushes it into eternity. That happiness only comes when we meditate on God's Word day and night, every day, not twice a year, not only on the holidays. And blessings flow when we obey its principles and claim its promises. And blessings flow when its promises and its principles become our standard of faith. In other words, God's Word is our authority, not the church, not the pastor, not somebody else. This book is your authority. This is what you want to listen to. This is what you want to heed. This is what you want to memorize. This is what you want to stake your future on, this book. And blessings and happiness come when we feed on it to grow spiritually. This is your spiritual food. If you're not in it every day, it's like not eating every day. Now, let's go back and think about the question. When was the last time you opened the book? Was it a day ago? Was it a week ago? Was it a month ago, or does it go back further than that? And let me ask you this. How long could you survive if you didn't have a meal? I think, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days? There are people who go into prison and then they fast or they say they're not going to eat for a long time. You don't last all that long. How could you possibly last month after month without getting your spiritual food? That's a question you're going to have to think about. And you're going to have to answer. And I pray the Holy Spirit will challenge you to start getting back into God's Word if you're not already there. The treasure of happiness and blessing found in the Bible can only be found by those who dig for them. If you knew that there was $100,000 in gold buried out here, I got a feeling you'd probably be out with your shovel right now. But if you knew that there was $100,000 in gold, you'd be digging all over. I read an article about some guy who planted $1 million worth of gold. He wrote a poem, and everybody is trying to find out exactly where the poem leads so they can get to the $1 million worth of gold. You got $1 million worth of spiritual gold here in this book. Are you digging? Number five, happiness is found in fellowship with God and with the church. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. Verses 3, 4, and 7. 1 John chapter 1, 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your what? Joy. That your joy, another word for happiness, that your joy might be full. And then verse 7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That word fellowship is a Greek word you can see up here, koinonia. And it means to share with others, to associate, to be companion with, to be partaker of, and to be a partner with. It's more than just spending 1 hour here in this building. Fellowship is more than that. Fellowship is more than getting together for worship, more than sitting together for a meal. Fellowship with Christ and the body of Christ, the church, is about a relationship within a community. It is a way of life. So many of us think, I'm going to church today and that's going to do it. I'm going to punch in the time card and punch out the time card, and then I will feel I've satisfied my spiritual requirements for the week. It isn't going to work. You can't be happy outside of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship with the church is not an elective. You go to college, you have elective courses, and you have required courses. Church is not an elective. It is required for you to maintain a normal, balanced Christian life. You cannot be happy in this life by yourself alone. Christians are not lone rangers, and behind every believer stands another believer who supports you in prayer. Have you gone through a hard season in your life and you've come to church and said, brothers, would you pray for me? And then you knew that behind those words, there were people standing in the corners of your life, upholding you in prayer, standing in the gap for you, for whether it was health, or whether it was finances, or whether it was loss, or whether it was pain, or whether it was an issue of being backsliding, whatever it was, we were standing in the corners, standing in the shadows, standing in the wings, praying for you. You can't do this alone. Someone wrote, Satan watches for those ships who sail without a convoy. Think about that one. I'll say it again. Satan watches for those ships who sail without a convoy. In other words, if you're going into enemy waters and you don't have any support to make sure that you don't get blown out of the water, you're in big trouble. And you walk out into the world every single day, and I walk out into the world every single day, and I want you to know, as a Christian, you've got a target on your back. Satan is after you. John Wesley wrote, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. A life without God and brothers and sisters in Christ is a void that can never be filled. People try that formula every day and find that there is nothing better than the church at its best. When the church is running on all its cylinders, you can't get a place that's happier. And there is no substitute for fellowship with Jesus Christ. Number six, happiness is a choice. So many times, you and I are our own worst enemy. We make ourselves miserable. And then we think maybe that miserable feeling will rub off on everybody else so I don't have to feel alone in it. Can I tell you something? If you're miserable, keep it to yourself. Psalm 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. The choice to pursue happiness and finding it has many rewards. So Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. My Yiddish friends used to have a wonderful expression. They said, you were verbissen, or that you had a phobisma punim, which means you had a long, unhappy, miserable-looking face. Now, I don't see any of those faces here this morning. I hope that what I do see is not a mask. I hope that what I do see is something that you can take with you to the world around you. If you're looking on the dark side of life, if you're seeing only the flaws, the negative, the wrong, the ugly, tasting only the bitter, which these things flow from an unhappy heart and mind, God is in the heart and mind adjustment business. If you know that you are somehow or another a miserable person, God can do many things with that. He can change that heart. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and holiness. The meaning of the word renew is another Greek word, ananeo. And it means, listen to this, it means the whole course of life flows in a different direction. In other words, if you're feeling miserable, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling unhappy, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling completely overwhelmed and you have a lousy attitude about it, do something. Give it back to the Lord. It's your choice. Believer, life can either be beautiful or miserable, joyful or despairing. In what direction does the stream of your thinking flow? Mighty rivers of despair can be redirected and flow into lakes and reservoirs of joy, blessing, and happiness. It all depends on you with God's help. What you will do with the rest of this day depends on you. How you will face the challenges of tomorrow depends on you with God's help. What your attitude will be about the circumstances you're in is up to you. God wants to drag you kicking and screaming, if necessary, out of that miserable place. Or he wants to come alongside and work with you as you pray to him to put you in another direction. Other directedness is possible with God. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. Happiness is contagious. So this morning, I want to encourage you, be a carrier. Spread it to somebody else. God bless you. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.